A mobile home burns in Haines, the Skagway Assembly works to fill vacant seats, and Southeast communities debate the value of lobbying state legislators. This is the KHNS Local News. I'm Claire Strempel. Those stories are up next. A mobile home on Sawmill Road behind the Eagle's Nest Motel caught fire early Friday morning. The Haines Volunteer Fire Department got the call just after 4:30 a.m. 17 firefighters and medical personnel responded to the call. When KHNS spoke to Fire Chief Al Giddens, his hands were still blackened from fighting the blaze. He says the mobile home was completely destroyed.
When we got there, we could see the smoke and the flames. We call that a loom up, or we can see it from a distance, so we knew we'd take a hydrant on the way in. So when we did arrive, though, the trailer was fully involved. So fire through the roof from front to back.
No one was in the unit when it caught fire, and there were no injuries except for a dog. Firefighters saw he was chained to a tree near the burning home.
We ran over there and got in between the fire and the dog and tried to unchain him, and we did put out a fire that was on his back. And as soon as we unchained him, he took off and ran, and we didn't see where he went.
Giddens says the dog was recovered and is on his way to Whitehorse for treatment. A neighboring home also caught fire from radiant heat. It only burned partially before firefighters extinguished it. Chief Giddens says they saved most of the contents. Fire personnel left the scene close to 9 a.m., but returned to put out a smaller flare-up.
And we did have to return to the scene just to put out little spot fires because there was so much debris that it's, unless you completely bulldoze the house down, it's hard to catch it all in the first go-round. So,
the cause of the fire is still under investigation. This is the third fire in Haines in less than 2 weeks. Giddens says the department has not ruled out the possibility of arson, but that it is not the entire focus of the investigation. He says mobile homes are especially flammable.
For the most part, this is a very fire-safe community, so we're very, very thankful for that, and the people are aware and very conscientious about fire safety.
Haines is protected from fires by a staff of volunteers. None of those firefighters were injured. Their investigation is ongoing. The Skagway Borough Assembly met Thursday for the first time since Mayor Monica Carlson passed away. As Henry Leisha reports, the Assembly took the first steps towards finding someone else to fill the mayorship.
When Monica Carlson was elected, she appointed Assemblyman Tim Cochran as her vice mayor. For the time being, he has taken on the duties of the mayor in addition to his role as an assemblyman. Cochran says that serving in both capacities can complicate the assembly's voting process because there is nobody who can break a tie.
The only drawback with a vacancy in the mayorship, with the vice mayor presiding, the vice mayor still votes. However, we have the possibility of a three-way, you know, 3-3 tie, and there is no tiebreaker, so the motion would fail because we need 4 affirmative votes for a motion to carry.
But Cochran will only act as mayor until an election is held to fill the vacancy. At the meeting Thursday, the Assembly directed Acting Borough Manager Emily Deitch to schedule a special election for the mayorship on March 29th. The municipality of Skagway is short-staffed. Both the mayorship and the borough manager position are vacant. Vice Mayor Cochran says although these are trying times, City Hall is making do.
Emily, our clerk, is co-managing with our treasurer. They're doing a bang-up job. It's a lot on their plate. They also have the Alaska Association of Municipal Clerks. They have a lot of resources to draw from, a lot of networking ability. So there's a lot of support out there if they need answers to some questions or what have you.
At this point, the search for a new borough manager has been narrowed to 3 candidates: John Arda, Sam Keto III, and David Milleron. All 3 have been invited for in-person interviews in Skagway on January 24th. In Haines, I'm Henry Leisha.
At least $2.6 million in public money went to state lobbyists in 2018. That's Alaska cities, boroughs, and school districts hiring private contractors to represent them in the state's capital. Coast Alaska's Jacob Resnick looks at why governments lobby other governments.
Juneau lobbyist John Walsh's Spartan office is 2 blocks from the Alaska state capital.
Hey, Mr. Walsh, can you come?
Professional lobbyists, he says, are basically experts in the workings of government.
It's advocacy, and it's transparent, it's regulated. There's reporting requirements. It's no different than the advocacy that individuals can make on their own.
Public filings show in 2018, he made about $285,000 in lobbying fees. Nearly two-thirds of that came from taxpayer-funded governments or school districts. Walsh says his job is to make his client's case to individual legislators.
This is a vast state, so just because you're an elected official doesn't mean you've been to Bristol Bay Borough or to Skagway or to Kaktovik.
And lawmakers represent multiple communities in their home districts.
And so they can't devote direct time per community that they probably wish they could.
Government spending public money to lobby other governments is legal in most states, and the trend is growing. Boise State University political scientist Jacqueline Kettler says it's a puzzle for American democracy why cities do this.
You know, theoretically, they already have representation in both state and national government. So it's kind of an interesting element for cities and municipalities to be spending taxpayer money on lobbying other governmental bodies.
Kettler was a co-author of a 2014 study that tracked a decade of spending on federal lobbyists by nearly 500 cities. Her research found that economically challenged cities were more driven to lobby. The payoff, so the reasoning goes, was their ability to bring back money to their client's community. But what happens when the gravy dries up? In 2017, the state drastically slashed the capital budget that's available for local projects. Filings show local governments in Bethel, Yakutat, and Haines dropped their lobbyists. Haines Assemblyman Tom Morfitt said his community could see the writing on the wall.
When the big cuts came down, there was no, it seemed like they came down pretty heavy all over the state, that there was no lobbyist that was saving any community from those cuts.
But overall, most local governments in Alaska haven't cut back. Political scientist Jacqueline Kettler remains skeptical of lobbying's value for cash-strapped municipalities.
You know, what are cities getting for spending money on private lobbyists? What benefits are being brought? And I think it's something that, you know, taxpayers may want to know.
All told, public filings show Alaska cities, boroughs, and school districts spent about $2.6 million on state lobbyists in 2018. That number doesn't include the amount spent on federal lobbying in D.C. What will 2019 bring for state lobbyists? Those numbers should be available by the time the legislature convenes later this month. Reporting in Juneau, I'm Jacob Resnick.
That's your KHNS local news. I'm Claire Strimple. Thanks for joining us. You can stream the news online at khns.org or download the podcast on Stitcher or NPR One.